Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Friday, guys. Hope you're having a great day. Mike and I certainly are. Make sure you get some Hey Man L Watermelon Lime for the weekend. You can find it a variety of places, and we've tweeted out, put it out there on social media. And if you can't find it, make sure you ask wherever your package store is, hey, man, how do I get my hands on some? Make sure they ordered for you. And big shout out to Georgia Crown, too, Mike, by the way. They had a nice post of our beer as well. So big shout out to Georgia Crown. Hey, man, coming up 20 minutes, we're going to talk to check that. 30 minutes, we're going to talk to Dane Brugler from The Athletic about the draft. All right, Mike, as we continue to count down every day, you know, something seemingly changes. I'm going to see what happens after this Justin Fields pro day, and where he's going to work out, and the 49ers brass is going to be there, because I'm curious to see what comes out after this. Like, does the momentum change from the whole Mac Jones conversation
right,
to now it becomes, oh, you know, Kyle Shanahan loved him? I'm wondering.
I mean, I know that it started because of the friendship with Kyle Shanahan and Chris Sims, and Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk started that they were interested in Mac Jones, and then everyone just kind of assumes now that's where they're going. But you just think of, you know, the kind of things that Shanahan wants to do. And it was back in the day when him and his dad were with the Redskins, they didn't necessarily want RG3. That was a Daniel Snyder move. They wanted to go with more of the pure pocket passer and Kirk Cousins. But Fields gives you so many things that you could do in that offense. Remember how the first year in 15 we had Matt Ryan rolling out? We were joking around he'd have to tape his ankles because, you know, Kyle had him doing stuff he wasn't really ready to do. And then 16 it all clicked. But, I mean, that's, to me, just a little more athleticism at quarterback. And I got to be honest, with some of the things I've seen from Garoppolo, I don't think Fields, with all the weapons on that team, could do much worse, even as a rookie.
So let's talk about something that we brought up earlier this week. And you know, I said there were conflicting reports about what the Falcons want to do. And internally, it's fine to have those discussions. And now there's a report out that they were divided, which is something we discussed. But according to D. Orlando Ledbetter, that Coach Smith, and Fontenot are now aligned on the plan for the fourth overall selection.
We don't alter the plan.
So, but this gets back to, Mike, what we were talking about. And this is why these things happen. They're real, whether people want to believe them or not. And I think the GM sees the vision one way, and his job is to go get the players to make the team better. It's the coach's job to coach those guys up and put them in position to be successful. But this gets back to what we've always talked about, going back to our former regime. Are you guys in on this together? Who's making these picks? Are you signing off on them, Coach Smith, Arthur Smith? Are you saying, yeah, that's what I absolutely want to do? So, Mike, I said this. I think Terry Fontenot was like, look, I got to get my quarterback of the future. And Arthur Smith's like, we got a guy. We can go win right now. I need to make this team better. So now, according to D-Led, they are aligned and they know what they want to do with the fourth overall pick. Either way.
I mean, I don't think, like, again, we're not privy what one guy may have said in passing to a media member that got this thing rolling, that somehow there was a divisive. No, it wasn't divisive. I mean, they both might have some things they want to try to accomplish in this draft. Obviously, both all the ships in the fleet have to be going in the same direction. But, I mean, anybody trying to turn this into some kind of a controversy, I don't think it should have gone that far.
No, I agree. I don't think, and we said this, you can have discourse in an organization. It doesn't make you
it's
bad
not
people.
Discord, it's discourse, right?
Yes, and you don't, it doesn't make you bad people, you know? It doesn't make you a bad guy to say, hey, I really don't agree with what we're trying to do here. You're just having a conversation. The pick hasn't been made, so it really doesn't matter right now. The problem becomes, Mike, when it goes bad, who takes the blame?
Well, in this case, it'll be the general manager because he's the guy that's picking them. I mean, like, we spent 10 years, well, 5 years, actually, with Dan Quinn trying to figure out who the hell was calling the shots, and we still never knew who was the final say. Although last year, remember, it was going to be like Rich McKay was going to knock their heads together like the Three Stooges, right? Wasn't that the story? Well, if you had an issue between Dimitroff and Quinn?
I think they all still report to Rich McKay.
Either way. I think that as D led. And by the way, D's got a new avatar. You see that on his Twitter page?
No, what has he got?
D, it's serious. D, it, I mean, D is looking right at you. It's got the Atlanta Journal Constitution font, old school, old English. I mean, D is really up to his avatar game.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Take a look, Carl. Look at it right now.
I'm going to go check it
out. I mean, usually it's a smiling, jovial D having fun.
He's all
business.
Okay, wait a minute, though. The way that Atlanta Journal Constitution sits right below him, it kind of looks like a jail photo, all right?
I got to admit, D, like when I first saw it, it looked like a mugshot. I mean,
it does.
And my father always said, always smile on your mugshot. Thus, when you see the picture in the paper, somebody might just gloss right over and not realize it's a mugshot.
But D is saying, and I love it, his background is press on, and he's got his yeah, man, good job, D.
D is all business. But no, again, the blog today that Carl's talking about says that guys are all in the same direction now. Chris Mortensen had reported that Fontenot was more focused on QB while Smith was fine with Matt, as Carl just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But this goes back to the conversation you and I have been having with the listeners now for 3 months. What do we do? Do we go big picture? Do we play the long game? Or do you try to pump a playoff run and some life into what we've been working with the last 3 years and hasn't gotten it done?
I think I just saw our future quarterback.
All right, then let's take Fields and let's get the fans ready for Fields or Trey Lance, because then you've split the baby like King Solomon, where the general manager gets his quarterback of the future and he's not ready to play because we all know Trey Lance is a unpolished gem, right? We need some work.
Yes.
He sits behind Ryan, or Arthur Smith has a chance to make a run with what we got.
All right. Either way.
You like that one or no?
I think, again, there's nine ways to skin this cat. Mm-hmm. Which one is going to make us better right now? That's the one that I want, because I don't want to wait two more years. I just don't, man. We've had 3 years of hell here. We have.
Believe me, you can't sell your tickets if you're a season ticket. Oh, you can't even dump them.
I don't want to wait two more years. All these guys that are like, yeah, let's just blow it off and wait. Okay, so you're ready to go, you know, go win three games again? I'm not. If we're and as many games as we were in and should have won last year, even with the crappy coaching, you're telling me we can't be better?
Well, this is what I just told the listener. A listener was saying, why don't we go get Kyle Pitts? And I go, it's intriguing. I got no problem doing that too. But maybe, just maybe, and again, I'm convincing myself of what I'm about to say, Arthur Smith and his new regime can pump some life into Matt's career and can re-energize Matt. And, of course, people automatically say, well, you know, Matt always struggles his first year with a new coordinator, which is kind of true. But Arthur Smith is going to run the football. Now, we're going to have to get somebody to compliment, you know, Mike Davis, and we're going to have to find out who's going to be playing left guard. But if we can get physical, really physical, and that's, again, that doesn't happen, I don't think, overnight. But maybe some of these new guys with the new coaches, Carl, can do some of the things we haven't been able to do for 3 years. Really run the football instead of play action.
I would only ask this question. We're going to get to an NFL blitz. Yeah, man, no man, with our tailgate edition coming up. It's hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home on a Friday, guys. We'll tell you what we've got cooking. And we will also get into a couple of other things during that segment, including the passing of DMX. But, Mike, what happened with Dirk's first year back?
It wasn't great.
He was familiar with Dirk.
Yeah, and we didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything. So when guys say that, I think that narrative is overblown with Matt. Oh, he's better the second year. That happened with Shanahan. What happened with the guy he was supposed to be familiar with and this offense was supposed to click?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Dirk was just so locked in with decision making. We always talked about it. You've got all these superstars and you're thrown to a backup tight end right in the red zone. Remember the Colts game 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You always had these, like, what are you doing? I mean, it's like you're trying. It's like you've got to put a screw in a piece of wood and you got a wrench. You know what I mean? It's like, use the right tool for the job. You've got all the pieces right there. That drove us crazy. And then even last year, what makes it even worse, Todd Gurley, I don't know how many years Todd Gurley's got left in the NFL. We actually had Todd Gurley where can do things for maybe the first half of the season. And even then, Cutter didn't use him the right way. When you had him at where he could actually have an impact on games.
I don't think that this is anything more than what it needs to be. And that is, you're having conversations in the building about what you want to do with the fourth overall pick. That is what we talked about early in the week. And the fact that they are now saying, hey, we know what we want to do, just means that they are smart individuals who come to a conclusion of, this is what's going to be best for our team. I'm not worried about it, but the idea was, it's going on. Right. And I really do think they both had different ideas for this team. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Now, coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Mike Meltzer. Mike does a show on Mad Dog Radio, but he's also an attorney in Houston and has been all over this Deshaun Watson story. But the latest, Mike, has a judge ruling that Watson's accuser must reveal her name. So has this been a part of this whole ordeal that's been bothering you? Like, all right, you're accusing him, but why is Busby, Tony Busby, the attorney, keeping all of these women? Again, I mean, I know legally, but right. I'm saying if you're going to come out publicly and accuse him of these things, who are these women?
It's the great catch-22. You know, when we get into these situations you and I discussed yesterday. You want the women to not have to deal with the media circus, and you want, they should not have to be made the bad person because, you know, they didn't do anything wrong if you believe what they're saying. But at some point, you got to know who's accusing me, you know, and to have just Jane Doe 1 and Jane Doe 2. I mean, what was the date? When did this? And so they can actually, first off, so I think your friend in Houston is going to tell us so they can actually prepare a defense in the civil case. But also, you know, you can't just be throwing stuff out on the wall and see what sticks without having something behind it that people can look at and say, oh, okay, yes, he did have an appointment for a massage with this person on this date, et cetera, et cetera.
More on that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Let's talk about Jerry Jones. This whole thing, when you use the word infatuation, that's a strong word, Mike. I mean, that's almost like you're saying you're willing to do anything to get what you want.
I have to have Kyle Pitts. So, I need Kyle Pitts. Daddy, shut up, Daddy. Don't say that. I'm an infatuated Carl.
If he's infatuated, then that means we can rob him.
Let's
right?
play him. Let's take it down. And then, you know, there's even some mock drafts where Fields could even fall to even that late, which I don't know if I agree with that, but there's some stuff that's out there. Could you trade with the Cowboys, load up, take their first – first of all, I want their first or second next year, but I want the second, third, fourth. I want to load up. Take everything they've got. If Jerry's that gullible to make the move to four.
It's like a moving truck. Yeah, that too. Yeah, put that in there.
What was the movie? The Professional with Gary Oldman. Bring everybody. I want everybody. I want everything off this thing, man. Yeah.
Hey, let's hear Daniel Jeremiah. Again, he continues to evolve like I do. I didn't know what I wanted to do 6 weeks ago. Then 3 weeks ago, I kind of felt like I knew what I want to do. Right now, I feel like I know what I want to do. Guess what? Draft night, it might be different. Daniel Jeremiah, what should the Falcons do at four?
I think there's two options. I think there is we want to get the next quarterback that we can sit and groom behind Matt Ryan, or we're going to get the heck out of there and get a King's ransom for somebody who does want a quarterback. I can't really imagine them sticking and picking at any other position there. When you just look at the overall makeup of the roster and look at some areas that they need to fortify, it kind of positions itself more for that decision. It's either quarterback or we're going to get out.
Okay. It's basically what you and I have been saying. You know, you can do
or get out.
Quarterback or get out. But I'd like, you know, again, because of what we just found out about what may or may not have been a disagreement about the strategy, then, you know, you get a guy like Trey. Or should that even matter? Or Justin Fields sits for two. But as some callers and listeners have brought up, why do you have your quarterback sitting there for a couple of years in a league where a salary cap means everything, and then eventually if he really is good, you're going to have to pay him like a fortune very early. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The salary control. That what made the Seahawks so effective was they had like Russell Wilson on a third round pick.
Yeah, it's valid. It is, man. I mean, that's the whole thing is most teams. This is why I think Shanahan's doing this, guys. Yeah, they paid Garoppolo, but in the big scheme of things, the deal is something that they can get out of. They can get out of it now. They could have saved money.
Right.
They want to get salary control for that 5 years, Mike, so they can continue to build around that quarterback. And his system allows the quarterback to be really good without having really good players around.
Right.
Think about it. So that all those guys that have played in that system, you don't have to be great. But if you're great, if you're Elway, then you got a real good chance of getting there and winning the thing. Hey, NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. For those who don't get that, Elway's dad, or should I say Kyle's dad, coached Elway in Denver. And it's the same system. I mean, very similar system. Let's talk about what else is going on in the NFL. And when you talk about Najee Harris – when this draft conversation first started, we were talking about running backs, and I think we still should draft a running back. I agree with Mike. I don't know at this point where. You've got three compensatory picks. You could do it in the third or fourth and maybe feel good now that you've addressed that in free agency. But Najee Harris is still one of the top running backs in this draft, guys. And then when he went on Adam Schefter's podcast, Schefter was telling him what Todd McShay had to say. Listen to this.
What do we think of Todd McShay's report, Najee?
I think that he can kiss my ass. What I'm saying with this is, like, listen, like, how is he going to say he showed better production? Okay, let's take it. Am I passing ability? All right, and then I'm going to go break it down. Okay, so like I said, I did not play freshman and sophomore year, rarely, ever. So I didn't have the opportunity to show I can catch. It's not because I can't. It's because I wasn't in the game to show people I can catch.
Okay.
Talked about it yesterday. We didn't have the audio, and Chris got it for us. But look, the guy, he can catch the football. We've seen, not only can he can catch and then jump over people and knock people over. Yeah, I love this guy's game. I wish there was a way we could do all the things you and I have talked about and still, you know, draft this guy. Of course, we can get quarterbacks. There's value there in the third and the fourth round, as you mentioned, including the guy that played opposite him in the national championship game, Trey Sermon. But boy, I mean, Najee Harris checks a lot of boxes, especially in this offense, doesn't it?
He does, man. I mean, if you were going to tell me, Mike, that we could add him and get your future quarterback, I'd feel really good. I'd feel really good. Now, obviously, that probably means you're not getting Pitts, right? Which may be the best athlete in this draft.
But again, you could trade back, and as we said, I mean, we would love to have the real marquee running back. Devontae, you know, we gave him the loot. He had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. We all know how that played out. But, you know, when we had a guy like the burner, when Michael Turner helped to take pressure off a young Matt Ryan's career, and now at this stage of the career, we need a run game, a real run game. I like Mike Davis, but that's a stopgap. But, again, it seems like that's just the way the draft is going to fall, Carl. That's kind of like Christmas shopping. We're not going to get that done. That's not on the wish list.
Coming up, we'll tell you what we've got cooking right now. Let's give you a chance to win some money. Taxi is the word, T-A-X-I. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Play our national signing bonus contest, guys. Remember, for all the rules and details, it's 929thegame.com/rules. Taxi is the word. All right, DMX, if you're not familiar with him, was 50 years old, one of the most famous rappers of his era. Passing away today. He had been on life support over the last week or so. False reports about his death. Today it became official. The family put the news out there. We're going to talk about that, but also we'll tell you what we're cooking and a lot of other things going on as well. Braves opening day at home at Truist Park. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll bring in Bo Morgan, Mike Conti, for our tailgate at home conversation. What do you got working for the weekend? Make sure you send your pictures and use the hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. Real quick, Mike, I just want to talk about Earl Simmons. That's his real name, DMX, who died today at the age of 50 after a heart attack and complications of that earlier this week. This is right in my wheelhouse, and there are songs, we talk about this all the time, whether it's club bangers or not, that's what I call them, you know, whether you're in the club or out having a good time partying, they come on and you're like, oh, and he has one of the all-time great songs that people respond to. And, you know, he was a guy, just to put it in context, his first five albums, guys, debuted at number one. Mm-hmm. No rapper has ever matched that feat before or since. So DMX was a cultural figure. Certainly most people know who he is, but if you don't, you're not into hip-hop or rap, I get it. But 50, way too young to go, Micah. But, you know, the hip-hop world celebrating his life today and people talking about DMX all over social media. But when I heard this today, and all I could think about is Party Up, which came out in 2000, believe it or not. But everybody knows this song. You know, when you hear this song, can you hear it?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Everybody knows it.
Up in here.
Well, so, you know,
remember the time Tyson came back? This is when Tyson on the comeback. I mean, you know, it was kind of up and down. But remember, you and I weren't working together, but it was both a fight in Vegas, and he came out to DMX, Tyson did.
Oh, he sure did. It was hype, wasn't it?
And the crowd was just so badass. It really was.
It was so hype.
I'm a Tiger guy. I was a Tyson guy. But, yeah, but it was pretty cool.
So he was from Yonkers, guys, and if you're into this, again, MC in the late 90s, early 2000s, and, you know, always rep New York, but it was really just his style that was unique.
You had a record coming out this week, right?
That's what I had heard.
Yeah.
So it's crazy, man. So rest in peace, DMX. All right, man, let's bring in our guys, and let's get to our tailgate at home. All right, Bo Morgan, are you having a Masters party this weekend to tailgate with?
Oh, absolutely. By the way, the name of that song Tyson came out to was Intro. It was on the It Is Dark and Hell Is Hot CD.
That's nice. What it was. You're right. Intro. Yep.
It's one of my favorite songs by DMX. Chuck Liddell also used to come out to it, so I know that one well. Yeah, we're doing a Masters weekend here in the neighborhood. We are actually doing a party tomorrow that starts at 2, which I'll tell you what I'm cooking for, and we'll go through. And then for Sunday, we're doing brunch. And before the coverage starts on TV, we're going to play 9 holes at a neighboring golf course and then come back and watch the rest of the Masters. So it's a big Masters weekend here in my neck of the woods. But, so I was willing to go outside of the box, try different things for tailgate, and everybody at the party was like, dude, just cook us a pork butt. We want the pulled pork. We can make sandwiches.
We just want your butt, Squid. Please.
I do, man. My meat is good. So I've actually, unfortunately, I have to
is
cook.
Is it really? Is it?
It is. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah, all right.
What?
Isn't that a Kenny Chesney song, My Meat Is Good?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. Mike, it sounds like a country song. Yeah.
By the way.
My meat is good.
In the small group that
I use hickory wood.
That does sound like a country song.
That's probably, we could probably write some lyrics for that.
That's right.
Acoustic. You could sing it. So I'm just going to do my traditional, but I going with the Mike Conti double rub. So I've already put the first rub on there. I will start this thing sometime tonight, depending on how much I've thrown back, probably 11 or midnight. Have it done by 1, let it sit, and then pull the meat around 2 o'clock.
Nice.
You know what I love about this? And I want to ask Mike Conti what he's got going on. Obviously, Hawks tonight. I know he's got a busy weekend. But, you know, Bo's right with the Masters going on. A couple of our neighbors around us are getting together and hanging out and just, you know, making it an event because we haven't done a lot of that in 2020. So last year, I think people were kind of still timid and you
right.
know. But with that said, Mike, the thing I love about our tailgate is people send recipes. People go, Dukes, have you seen this? Or Conti, have you tried this? So a guy sent me a ribs recipe, and he was like, I guarantee you, you won't go wrong with this one. So he sent me the whole thing. I'm going to try it. It's got sriracha. The ribs are going to be a little spicy, but sriracha, honey. I'm going to wrap them up in foil. I've got them. Matter of fact, I just put the rub on them, and they're sitting in the fridge. I'm going to do them tomorrow, so I'll send the pictures out tomorrow. I don't know what sides I'm going to do with them yet, but I'm just curious to see because I'm always finding willing to try new things. And Mike Conti, right. I know you are as well because you're always talking about different dishes and different types of meat that you're willing to try to cook.
Yeah, and I let me know how the ribs turn out because the ribs are kind of my Waterloo when it comes to smoking. I still haven't been able to really figure out a way to do it where they don't get too dry. I like my ribs more on the wet side, and it sounds like what you're doing, if it's sriracha and honey, it's going to be, I guess, more of a Memphis style.
Yeah.
Memphis style has a little bit of heat, but a little bit of sweetness, too. It sounds really, really good.
Well,
let me know how it turns out.
Well, the wet part, Mike, to your point, because, you know, again, even if you're great at smoking ribs, you guys know if you don't, like, spray them down with maybe apple cider vinegar or some kind of, so they will dry out on you. And his whole deal was you're going to wrap them, take them out of the wrap, put them back on the grill, baste them, and then wrap them again. And he said that they were going to come out moist and delicious. So I will, man. I'll let you know.
No, that sounds awesome. You know, I did a prime rib for Easter last week, and I actually smoked with hickory wood, like Mike Bell's song lyrics would tell you. And I still have a little bit left over. I'm going to try to salvage what's left in, like, a Chicago Italian beef form.
Ooh.
Where if you take that leftover beef, you put it in a slow cooker with a little bit of beef broth. If I can find the right buns and the right pickled vegetables, and really it's pickled peppers, I'm feeling like Chicago-style Italian beef might be the way to go this week. Yeah, Braves on TV. Yeah, the home opener tonight. Yeah, the Masters on TV.
Yeah.
To me, it just calls for, like, a roast beef sandwich. Nothing, like, too terribly elaborate on the grill. But I'm still quite intrigued by your rib recipe. So
no doubt. Mike Conti, and that's the thing, too, this weekend, right? We got a lot going on, man. There's a lot that you could just, you know, cook. Guys, and again, use the hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home, and make sure you send it to all of us. Put them up, see Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL, Mike Conti, 929, Squidbilly, 929. We want to see what you guys are cooking, and we'll share and obviously interact with you guys. Mike Bell, what do you got working this
week? Yeah, Becky's doing, again, by the time I get home, it'll be grilling up, but she's doing barbecue chicken, and I think she's using the King's Hawaiian, the sauce. Have you seen those sauces they're making now, Mike?
King's Hawaiian sauce?
Yeah, they've got their own sauce now. Yeah.
I bet that's really good. I mean, a lot of people swear by the King's Hawaiian rolls, especially when you're doing what Bo's doing with a bun. Like, the only way to eat pulled pork is to do it with the King's Hawaiian bun. So I'll be very anxious to see your review of the King's Hawaiian sauce.
Yeah, it's got apparently, we saw it in the store, so I just, you know, every now and again when she sends me down to like Kroger or Publix, like doo-doo-doo, and I'm like, just impulse buys. But apparently it's got some pineapple flavor in it, but it's called King's Hawaiian. They actually got a couple of different varieties. So I know we usually get those buns when we're up there at Falcons during preseason because the, their bakery's right on the other side of the highway up there. But anywho, we're going to do barbecue chicken, and she's got this gigantic French fry making contraption that the parents gave us. So you pick the potato.
It was like a housewarming gift?
Yeah. Potatoes come in, whoosh, you ratchet this thing down on the counter, Mike, and you get, like, literally, Carl, like restaurant-quality French fries, throw them in the fryer. So, yeah, just barbecue chicken and fries, man.
Let me ask you, by the way, it's Dukes and Bell, which I tailgate at home. Bo Morgan, Mike Conti, Mike and I, we've been doing this for almost a year now, to be honest with you. You know, and it started out with us just saying, hey, we're at home, we're all at home, we're cooking, and we're going to share with you guys, and it's turned into its own thing, and we certainly appreciate all of you folks who participate. And if you've never done it, it doesn't take anything. All you got to do is just send some pictures to us and say, hey, fellas, this is what I'm cooking. Give us a little bit of an explanation if you want, or just take pictures of your food and share it. Mike, are you getting your grill built into this thing that the neighbors are complaining about?
No. We didn't want to take it too far. We're going to do that next year. But, no, we've got basically the deck has got two tiers, and then there's, like, the pool deck. God, this sounds so pretentious. But, no, the grills are going to go on the lower tier.
Where the sun chairs are.
Becky's got this whole plan. We're going to have one shade of gray, then another shade, and it's like the heat-resistant paint, so it'll stay cooler, and that's how it's all going to work out.
Okay.
But the big thing, Mike, is we're going to have these trees so no nosy neighbors can see, and we're literally going to buy every tree in Coweta County to put in the backyard and the side of this place.
Well, I'm glad you've won round one in your battle of Mike Bell against the HOA.
Well, again,
there won't be a round two.
The biggest part was Mike did not say anything. That Becky knew best to have me not there for the meeting, which probably was the best way to go, so I didn't blow my stack.
Hey,
but anyway, if you can buy a house, don't make sure you get a house without an HOA. Do it.
Oh, jeez. Bo, before we get out of here, real quick, Mike Conti, I know you had this update as well, talking about John Collins. We don't expect him back tonight, right? He's going to not be available.
Sounds like it's going to be another week to 10 days at least. He's progressed to, I guess, an advanced level of rehab, but it's going to be at least another week the way it sounds. Hopefully, Capella and or Gallinari played tonight. You're going to need him against Nikola Vucevic in the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is not the time to not have, like, the front court, man.
Right.
All right,
yeah, you only had four healthy front court players the other night. Not good.
My coverage tonight starts at
7:30, unusual tip-off tonight. 7:30 will be the pregame. 8 o'clock will be the tip-off time. That's because Chicago played a road game last night, and they need the extra half hour.
All right, guys. Everybody have a good weekend. Conti as well. Enjoy the Masters and all that's going on. The Braves, hopefully we can win this series. Bo Morgan, get us out of here, man.
All right, thanks as always, Buckhead Butcher Shop, for being a part of this. Chris, hit my DMX.
Good call, Bo.
Right on.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk draft with our buddy Dane Brugler. He's from The Athletic. He has his latest draft, mock draft, out.
Mm-hmm.
We are literally counting down to April 29th. That's the first night of the draft. That's when we will pick fourth, or maybe we won't. We'll find out what Dane thinks about the Falcons next.
And again, guys, we didn't get the Hoots mentioned in there. If you want to let those guys do the cooking, a little barbecue talk brought to you by our buddies at Hoots. Chicken wings and other things, three locations around Metro Atlanta, all carrying Hey Man Ale. Get your wings for Hoots.
You got Dane's info?
We're all trying to get a sense of what's going to happen with this draft. 3 weeks ago, I told you guys the only thing I know about this draft is Jacksonville's taking Trevor Lawrence. Outside of that, I know nothing. I think the Jets are going to go Zach Wilson.
That's what the media seems to think up there in New York. They seem to be really enamored with him, which is great. I still think Justin Fields is a better talent, but we can talk to Dane Brugler because you know what he just did?
A mock draft?
No, in addition to a mock, it's like The Beast. I love the name for it. It's called The Beast. It's basically the most comprehensive breakdown of basically everybody in this draft.
Well, let's get him on the line. He's on the waitfor.com hotline. One of our favorite guys to talk to, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Tell us about The Beast, first of all, because it sounds like the Beast is a lot of work. Dane, are you there? Dane Brugler.
Can you hear us? Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. So tell us about the Beast, man, because it sounds like a lot of work.
It certainly was. It's a year-round project. You know, I treat it like I'm the 33rd team, and, you know, I'm scouting these guys. I'm getting information from these guys. All the background information's in there, all the analysis. And so if you're interested in the NFL draft at all, I promise you will not be disappointed with the level of detail that's in this guide. It's over 415 reports. And really what's most important this year is all the verified pro day information, because we don't have a combine. So having those official measurements and all that, there's NFL verified pro day information for over 600 players in the guide, and all you need to do is have an athletic subscription, and it's included. So I think it's a really great value.
We've talked so much about Justin Fields here because of the connection to being a hometown boy in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if we didn't go quarterback at four, and that includes Trey Lance, will it be just as good quarterbacks next year, or are these guys transformative players that you can't pass up?
Yeah, and that's part of what NFL teams do. They forecast to the next draft class just to see, okay, well, what is it looking like? And there's always going to be surprises. We weren't talking about Zach Wilson as being a top five pick at this point last year, but just forecasting towards the future, it does not look like a necessarily strong class of quarterbacks, at least compared to this year. This is going to be a very rare class. We've never seen five quarterbacks go in the top 10, and there's a good chance that happens. We've never seen four quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a pretty good chance that could happen. And it really starts with number three. We feel very confident that Trevor Lawrence is going one. We feel pretty confident that Zach Wilson's going two to the Jets. And then what do the 49ers do? That's going to dictate a lot. That's going to set off the dominoes, for the rest of the top 10 and where these quarterbacks land. The fact that Kyle Shanahan went to Mac Jones Pro Day, but he's going to Columbus next week. And then the week after that, he's going to North Dakota State to see Trey Lance. So the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, they're going to check out those three quarterbacks and just to see which one is their guy. Only Kyle Shanahan truly knows who, and maybe he doesn't know yet. Maybe he's still trying to figure it out. So it's a fascinating part of the process, and really that's going to unlock a lot of how the next few picks are going to happen.
Well, the next pick after that is us. And, yeah. You know, the rumor, or at least the thought process is, Dane, that you do not go quarterback at four. If you have the fourth overall pick with an aging quarterback, that's what most people feel like we should do. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and I think it's you could make a case either way. I mean, this is the Falcons are, even though they have the fourth pick in the draft, they're not, you don't think that they're that far away from competing. And, you know, with Matt Ryan in the fold, you think the next 2 years, you have a chance to get better, whether that's a Kyle Pitts or you have a chance to trade back and get a bundle of picks, get that ransom of picks that can really set you up for today and the future. So I certainly understand that side of it. But the other side is you don't pass on, above average quarterbacks. I mean, look at Sam Darnold. He had put together three below average seasons in the NFL, but he's so talented that the Jets were still able to get a second rounder, a fourth rounder, and a sixth rounder for him, even after three below average seasons in the NFL. So that would tell me, hey, do not pass on above average quarterback prospects if you have a chance to draft them now. Maybe the Falcons, they look at, let's just say Mac Jones goes number three, mm-hmm. Which a lot of people think that's going to happen. Maybe the Falcons don't view Trey Lance or Justin Fields as that transformative quarterback, that above average quarterback. Not every team does. So I think it really comes down to their evaluations. If they think that one of those two quarterbacks, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, is an above average guy that you just can't pass on, well, then that makes your decision for you. But we just, every team's going to look at these quarterbacks differently.
And again, it's strange here as Dane Brugler joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, because if you're looking at Atlanta from the outside, you'd say, well, Matt's, with the cap hit, he's not going anywhere. He can surround him with good weapons. He can still do things. We have, Ryan fatigue. Nothing against Matt. It's just because we missed our window at 16. So a lot of fans, it's hard to convince Dane that we can go and do it. But you got a coach who might be able to revitalize his career. What about Kyle Pitts? Is Kyle Pitts that guy that, 10 years from now, you say, wow, how could you pass on Kyle Pitts? And is Jerry Jones going to be infatuated with Kyle Pitts, which could help us?
Oh, yeah. I don't see the Cowboys trading up, but if somehow he were to fall to 10, he's a Cowboy. Done deal. I would be surprised if the Cowboys moved up. But Kyle Pitts is one of those guys that you just – it's hard to pass. You know, there's so much going for him. And I know people say, well, when's the last time a top 10 tight end actually panned out and lived up to that status? My rebuttal to that would be, well, when's the last time we've seen a tight end near the caliber of prospect that Kyle Pitts is? I mean, he's rare. He's a unicorn. We have not seen a guy that's 6'6", 245 pounds, who runs a 4.40, and, you know, just the raw measurables look great, but then you throw on the tape and it's even better. I mean, it's not like he's just burning safeties and linebackers. Watch the Kentucky tape, and, you know, he's Kelvin Joseph, who has a chance to be a first rounder in a few weeks, is a 4.3 athlete, and Kyle Pitts is running right past him. So he has the athleticism, he has the elite ball skills. He could be a true difference maker for your team. So in my opinion, he is the best non-quarterback, the most impactful non-quarterback in this draft, and it would be awfully tough to pass on a talent like that. But when the quarterbacks are involved, things get really interesting. And, you know, could this be a case of, you know, the GM thinking one way, the head coach thinking another way? And, you know, we've got first-year GM, first-year head coach. This is going to be, you know, they have to put their heads together and make sure they're on the same page. It's something that'll be really interesting. And maybe the trade action will help determine the direction they go. Maybe they get a deal that, you know, Denver or New England, whoever it may be, they get that trade offer that they say, you know what, we just can't pass on this. Multiple first rounders, another second round, whatever it is, maybe that helps make the decision for them.
Dane Brugler, our guest, guys, one of our best draft analysts and one of the best in the business. I want to ask you about running backs because it's something else I still think we need to address. You have Najee Harris as the top running back. Is he the top prospect for you above Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams?
For me, he is. You know, I think that he's an easy player to like because he does everything. Yeah, you want him to run routes, catch passes, he can do that. You want him to pass protect, he can do that. And he's built like a tank. When you look at him, you think he's just always all power, is just all physical at, you know, over 230 pounds. But he does a masterful job at toggling between that power and patience. So he's got that little bit of quickness where he can make a guy miss in the hole. You know, he can be able to win the perimeter and get down the field. So he can win in so many different ways. And that's why he's got a decent shot of going in the first round. You look at the Steelers at 24, that makes a lot of sense as they kind of their window's closing right now. They have a chance to go for it with a talent like Najee Harris. But if, you know, you look at the Falcons sitting there in the early second round, they have to feel good about one of those top three running backs getting there. Maybe all three are there. Right. But if not, if a Najee Harris goes in the first, say Etienne goes early second to, say, the Jets, Javonte Williams, not a bad backup plan. Right. You know, a really impressive guy who was a linebacker most of his life. He didn't move to a running back until later in his high school career, goes to North Carolina, and he is a bruiser. He reminds me a lot of like a more compact version of like a Leonard Fournette. Wow. Because he's just the way he can break tackles is so unique. It leaves missed tackles all over the field, but he also has quickness to him. So there's a lot to like about him. High school valedictorian, the coaches rave about his character. That would make some sense for the Falcons in round two.
And again, maybe a tackle that swings into guard early and then goes back to tackle. I mean, if we don't get the running back at 35, that'd be the second round. Who do you got? Who's like your next level offensive lineman or aren't selected in the first?
Yeah, and this is a good class for offensive tackles and the interior offensive line. If you're going to list the positions that you think are the deepest and strongest in this draft, I think you have to start with quarterback just because it's rare that we see so many quarterbacks at the top, even though I think there's a pretty sizable drop-off. And then after quarterbacks, it's a debate. Is it wide receiver? Is it corner? It might be offensive tackle. And it's a very deep offensive tackle group that stretches. It's not just top heavy in the first round. It's something that you feel good about finding offensive tackles that can come in and start round two. Even it'll stretch it into round three a little bit. So if the Falcons have their eye on, you know, a guy that can play both offensive tackle, offensive guard, you know, Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame, he's that savvy vet, the play awareness, the physical hands, I think that fits what they could be looking for. Dylan Radins from North Dakota State, 6'6", 300 pounds. I think he could play inside or outside. So this class of offensive linemen, both tackle and on the interior, has a lot of options that I don't think is going to force the Falcons to say, okay, we've got to get our guy here, because I think they'll feel good about it. If they want to wait to the third round, they will still have options available to them.
You see why we like him. Dane Brugler, one of the best. Appreciate the time today, Dane. And, again, check your stuff out, guys, at The Athletic.
Download the beast.
We will talk to you, I believe, either right before or right after the draft is done, man, so we can get some more insight into how this thing plays out. Appreciate the time today.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
All right, man. Good stuff from him. Does it clear up anything for Falcon fans? No. But these options should be clearer now than they were 3 weeks ago.
But again, that's the thing. If we could get that guy, Carl, to get us in the running the football business in the second round, and if we could drop back and get some of these things, oh boy, yippee-ki-yay. Then Matt Ryan will not be terrible, and this offense will not suck for 2 years. Not that Matt was terrible, but he'll do things he hadn't been able to do the last couple of seasons.
Running game helps, no doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Friday, man. Coming up, we'll talk more about the Braves home opener. Steve Coonan set to join us next hour, but when we come back, we'll get into some more college football and this lawsuit that's facing Les Miles next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.